Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
An injunction filed seeking to derail today's general elections in Barbados. And more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards, the news coming right up. An injunction has been filed before the High Court in Bridgetown seeking to have today's general election in Barbados called off. Putting the move in perspective, Barbados Today.
Philip Kitlin of the Barbados Sovereignty Party said it was unreasonable to allow an election in the midst of a pandemic. He's arguing that President Dame Sandra Mason unreasonably exercised her discretionary powers by accepting Prime Minister Mia Mottley's election call on December 27th. He also claims that the exclusion of more than 5,000 COVID-19 positive citizens from the election breaches Section 6 of the Representation of the People Act, which enshrines the right of eligible residents and citizens to vote. Kitlin is being represented by human rights attorney Lalu Hanuman.
But I see this as a fundamental human rights issue. People have been dying for years for the right to vote, fighting, I mean, in South Africa, in Palestine, all over the world, in right here in the Caribbean, people have been fighting for universal adult suffrage. And we can't just allow it to be taken away and do nothing about it. So it's from the human rights perspective that I've got involved. Something like 5,000 electors will be deprived of the right to vote. And of course, a lot of those electors live in various constituencies around St. Michael because of the fact that people are living in crowded conditions and traveling on ZRs and so on. So those constituencies will be heavily impacted in terms of electors not being able to vote because it means that, quite often there's a majority of a matter of a couple hundred in between the winner and the loser. And 5,000 people not being allowed to vote could obviously make a huge difference. So we're also saying that elections wouldn't be free and fair because people are deprived of the right to vote and also because the results won't reflect the reality because people haven't been able to attend the polling stations.
Prime Minister Mia Mottley, a former Attorney General, reacting to that development, gave the impression that she was not worried about the injunction.
The case has been filed for an urgent injunction to call off the elections on Wednesday. Why? Because they know they are losing and they are now trying everything to stop you from returning the Barbados Labour Party to government and allowing us to continue the mission of transformation. I will not say much. He can ring it soon, don't worry. When I then he can ring it because I have every confidence that the court will ring it too. And why? Because the case law, and I am no attorney general. Give me that 1 minute. I am no attorney general now, but I used to be one. And my memory is short. And Dale knows and I know that there's case law in the Commonwealth Caribbean that makes it absolutely clear that the High Court has no jurisdiction to suspend or to stop any election once the writ is issued. And that the only court that can have anything at all to do with an election is a special election court. And the only jurisdiction it has is to determine what happened in the election. So the election would have to happen before the election court can pass and render any judgment. And we are not talking about case law that is in US or in a foreign place. We're talking about case law in CARICOM, in the Caribbean. And look, nobody asked for this pandemic. But the World Health Organization has now told us that a pandemic is likely to be, check this word out, endemic. You know what I mean? That it is going to be with us over and over and over. I tell you straight, that in a sprint, it is now a marathon.
In the first 2 weeks since the reopening of schools in Guyana, the teachers' union there has found that 320 teachers and more than 165 students have tested positive for COVID-19. Guyana News Source has this report.
The Ministry of Education continues to reject the calls for a return to online learning, even as the number of COVID-19 cases continues to surge. There are now over 11,000 active cases of COVID-19 in the country, with the majority of those persons isolated at home. In a letter to the Chief Education Officer, the Guyana Teachers Union President Mark Light said the situation can no longer be ignored. He said approximately 152 schools have reported cases of teachers, learners, and support staff testing positive for the virus. Mr. Light said the union is proposing that teachers engage learners virtually during the 14-day period, while the Ministry of Education reassesses its face-to-face plan for learners during the pandemic.
We propose that teachers engage learners virtually during these 14 days, while the Ministry of Education reassesses its face-to-face plan for learners during this pandemic. Presently, many schools have learners seated 2-in-1 bench. We believe keeping teachers and students out of the crowded schools will help to reduce the present spike in COVID positive cases in Guyana. The Ministry of Health has declared more than 1,000 cases daily in the past week.
According to the GTU, learning cannot occur in an environment where there is trauma and fear, and the union needs the Ministry of Education to begin acting responsibly.
The head of Antigua's traffic department has expressed concern over the number of road accidents involving pedestrians. Point FM had this report on the situation.
Assistant Superintendent of Police Rodney Ellis says the number of people who were involved in accidents, non-drivers, is worrying, and the fatalities amidst that number is cause for concern.
In 2020, we had a total of 13 persons, or pedestrian I should say, involved in collisions. And in 2021, we shall see a drastic increase of 34. So an increase of 21 persons were involved in as pedestrian in collision. But the major concern is that we had 3 fatalities involving pedestrian. And there is where we have the major concern, that we have to educate our persons more, that they can be aware of their surrounding when they are traveling through the city and even in the out district on the streets of Antigua and Barbuda.
The traffic department last year recorded a decrease in collisions across the country, Ellis explained, when comparing it with 2020 statistics. 2020 figures reveal 2,228 collisions, and in 2021, 2,172, a decrease of 406. But despite this, fatalities have increased.
In 2018, we had a total of 6, 2019, 3, 2020, 4, and we have seen an increase now in 2021 of 7. So from 4 to 7, there's an increase of 3.
Grenada recorded its first suicide for the new year. Here's MTV News.
The discovery of the body of a young woman hanging in Calliste, St. George last Friday may be counted as the country's first suicide for the year. It will also be the first suicide by a female in Grenada in many years, as records show that most suicides have been committed by men. Speaking to MTV News on Monday, clinical therapist David Andrew said, although the rate of suicide is higher among the male population, these same factors can also trigger such tendencies in females as well.
Let me start by saying suicide ideation can affect both males and females. And I think, yes, you're right, the statistics and the research, they do indicate that men are more likely to successfully complete, but women attempt more frequently, so bear that in mind too. So, but let me just say that it can affect both males and females, but what could cause it to affect a woman any number of the same factors that can cause a man to get affected by it can likely cause a woman to get affected by it as well.
As a matter of fact, women can be more vulnerable due to their nature, Andrew says.
And there are several things that tend to suggest why that could be so. Among them, the very fact that women have their monthly cycles, and a lot of that has to do with emotions and the estrogen and those things that can affect the release of different neurotransmitters in the female system.
History-making Republican Jamaican-born Winsome Earlshiers began her tenure presiding over the Virginia Senate on Monday as the state's first woman to serve as lieutenant governor and the first black woman to hold statewide office. "This indeed is an historic moment," said Senator Mark Obenshain, who gave a speech welcoming the presiding officer, who will be referred to as Madam President. A standing ovation followed from members of both parties and guests in the gallery. Earlshiers, a former member of the State House who last year returned from a nearly 20-year absence from elected office to win election, did not give lengthy prepared remarks. She acknowledged her husband, a daughter, a staffer, and a family friend who were visiting in the gallery and tweeted that it was, quote, "a privilege to serve the people of the Commonwealth," end quote. And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Wednesday, January 19. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.